I want to read this again. We read this last week in Job 22:21. I want to read this again. We last two or three weeks we've been on a study of knowing God. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ. I want us to continue that study. I gave you a sheet. Probably most of you have it. I think there's some more out here on some of the subjects that we're going to study on in the weeks ahead, the Lord's willing. And that's on the nature of God, the attributes of God, the characteristics of God. But I want us to read in Job chapter 22 and verse 21 again this afternoon. In verse 21 of Job 22, acquaint now thyself with Him, with God, and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. What a sweet invitation. We said last week, this was, Glenn, that the Lord Himself would invite you and me to come and acquaint ourselves with Him. Become more familiar in a reverent way, in a trustful way, but become more familiar with Him, the great God. And you know, everything has been done that you and I can do this. The Son of God has come to this world. He has given us, through a great cost to Himself, access to the presence of our Father, to God's presence, a door that's continually open for us to come. The Holy Spirit has come to be our guide. When He has come, He will guides you into all truth. Well, He's come. He's abiding in our hearts if we're believers. We have the Word of God here that we just opened up to be our rule, to inquire of God and acquaint ourselves with Him. So you and I have everything we need. And on top of that, we have these invitations like this all through the Scriptures that we should come and acquaint ourselves with God. He invites us to do that. I tell you, you won't find great men that will invite people like us into their presence. You just don't have access to them. They don't want us to know. But hear the eternal God, and He says, come and acquaint yourself with Me. And it's not only here that in this particular verse that He does that, but let me read two or three verses to you. Listen to Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. This is what the Lord desires. Not only that He invites us to come and acquaint ourselves with Him, but listen to Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I desire the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. That's what the Lord told those people. They were bringing all these sacrifices. And the Lord said, I don't desire those sacrifices. I desire the knowledge of God. Acquaint yourself with Me. The Lord Jesus said, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. Acquaint yourself with Me. Listen to Colossians 1:10. Be fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Listen to 2 Peter 1:2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we increase in the knowledge of Him, knowing Him, I tell you, our peace increases. Our worship increases. Our reverence increases. Our adoration and admiration for Him increases. Look over here in Job. I want to show you a couple of verses in Job. Look over here in Job chapter 11. We have every means that you and I need. We have the Son that's given us access, the Spirit to guide us, the Word to direct our study of the knowledge of God, these sweet invitations. But I tell you, as we do seek to look at the characteristics of God, you and I should do it with humility. We should let no pride enter into our seeking the knowledge of Him. There's no room for that, but absolute humility. Because between us and God, there isn't an eternal difference. there's an eternal difference. Look here what he said in Job chapter 11. Look in verse 7. Can you by searching, find out God? Can you find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is high as heaven. What can you do? Deeper than hell, what can thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. So as you and I tackle some of these subjects concerning knowing God better, I tell you what, one thing we'll do is just scratch the surface. We'll not find out the Almighty to perfection. Look here in chapter 37 of Job. In chapter 37, look what he says in verse 22. Job 37, verse 22. Fair weather cometh out of the north. With God is terrible majesty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find Him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear Him. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart. As we seek to know Him, let's seek Him with humility. Don't be wise in our own heads. Don't lean upon opinions to the law and to the testimony. What He says about Himself, let us believe it. Dear Hannah said this, Talk no more, so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. He's a God of knowledge. And that's what we're going to study on just for a few minutes this evening. The knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. Paul said this, didn't he? O depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Listen to what he said. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? I tell you, we know very little of Him. Very little is said of Him when we've said all we can say. And very little is known of Him when we know all that we can. But you know something? He knows us perfectly. We know little of Him, but He knows us perfectly. And that's the first place we want to start. Concerning knowledge, look in Job chapter 37, where we're at in verse 16. Concerning knowledge, God is perfect in knowledge. Look what he says in verse 16. Dost thou know the balancing of the clouds, the wondrous works of Him which is perfect in knowledge? Perfect in knowledge. He knows us perfectly, doesn't he? And we'll see that in just a few minutes. But he told the children of Israel, he said, I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. He knows us. He's perfect in knowledge. There is no creature that is not made manifest in His sight. All things are naked and open in the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Everything's exposed before Him. Everything is open in His sight. Perfect in knowledge. Now I want to look at it this way. I just want to see three things tonight. I want to look at it first of all this way. God knows all things perfectly. That's what He means here when He said, which is perfect in knowledge. He knows everything that's in the past. He knows everything that's present. He knows everything that's in the future. God knows everything perfectly. He knows every thought. He knows every action. He knows everything. Here's the difference between you and me and God. Here's the difference between the creature, no matter how great they are or mighty they are, and the Creator. You and I and all creatures, we acquire knowledge. That's the only way we can get knowledge. We acquire it. If we're going to build a building, what do? We have to lay out the plans, don't we? We have to study. We have to come to the knowledge of what we're going to do. We have plans that we have to come to the knowledge of. If you're going to do math, you put your equation down and you work your way through it. You acquire knowledge by your thoughts, by valuation, but we acquire knowledge. God is not like that. He doesn't acquire knowledge. He knows everything perfectly. Now, I want you to look at Acts chapter 15 and verse 18. Acts chapter 15 and verse 18. This is the first Sovereign Grace Conference that we have record of in all the New Testament. Acts chapter 15, and look here in verse 18. This is a wonderful statement that James the Apostle made. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Now, you and I can speak very little of the works of God because we know so little of His works. But God knows all His works. He knows them all. He knows His work of creation. He knew how high the mountains would be. He knew how many trees that He would make. He knew how many fishes that were in the sea and all the different species. He knew how many fowls and their kinds. He knew man. He knew his name. He knew the helpmate that He would make for man. In the matters of creation, when He began, what He began, how many days, what days He would make what, in regards to creation, all God's work in creation was known to Him. It was known to Him. In works of providence, He knows everything. Daniel said He does according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth. He's the superintendent. He works in everything in this world. His hand is everywhere. And He knows what He's doing. There's not a bird that falls from the air. There's not a hair that falls from our head. There's not a king that's on His throne. There's not a nation that rises or any that falls. But God has perfect knowledge of it. Known unto Him are all His works. The works of salvation. Who would be saved? By whom they would be saved, when they would be saved, how they would be saved, the judgment that they would be brought to, the destinies of every man pronounced, come ye blessed or depart from me ye cursed. These are the works of God, just a few of them, and all of them were known of Him. But did you notice what James said? When were they known to Him? He didn't have to come to knowledge through a process of thought. He didn't work His way through these things as they come to pass, as you and I have to. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Before He ever made a world, He knew all about it. Before He began to rule in heaven and in this earth, He had knowledge of everything that He would do. Before He saved a soul, before He ordained His Son to come, He knew. Known unto God are all His works. So see, He doesn't acquire knowledge, does He? He had perfect knowledge of everything before He lifted His hand to do anything. He doesn't acquire this knowledge by any process. From the beginning, they were known of God. The purposes of God, the implementing of those purposes, and the consummation of those purposes, in every minute detail, is known of God. And not only known of God now, but have been known of Him from all eternity, even before the world was. Now look here in Acts chapter 15, while we're there, look in verse 13. Go back here to verse 13. This is the conference that just Peter just made that great statement in verse 11. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. James stood up in verse 13, and after the helter of peace, James answered, said, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon hath declared how that God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name." That's the work of God, isn't it? When did he know that? From the beginning of the world, didn't he? "And to this agree the works of the prophet, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles of whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things." Then he says, "Known unto God are all his works." So he's not acquiring knowledge. He's not acquiring knowledge. He knows everything perfectly. And he's always known it. He's always known it. He doesn't have to study. He doesn't have to process. Everything that he's doing in time, he knew back in eternity. Now, why is this important? Well, nobody else can do that. Can they? You and I don't know what's going to take place the very next moment. And you know something? Nobody else does either. Some of the greatest creatures that has ever God ever created, the elect angels in heaven and those who fail, they don't know either. They don't have this knowledge, this perfect knowledge. When the Lord told the children of Israel, when he said to them, "This is the way I want you to examine and expose false prophets. You ask them to foretell the future." That's what, look at it over here in Isaiah. Look at it in Isaiah chapter 41. They kept having these men who said they were speaking, you know, by inspiration and so on. And here's what the Lord, here's the way the Lord told the Israelites to examine them. Look at it in verse 19. Look at verse 19. Isaiah chapter 41. The Old Testament is full of prediction, as well as the New Testament. But the Old Testament is full of prediction. The Lord kept predicting things. Sometimes he'd predict them just a few hours. Sometimes it was days, sometimes it was years, hundreds of years, and even thousands of years. But God would predict these things, and they always came to pass. Well, he told these Jews, he told the Israelites, if these fellows rise up and say they're a prophet and I've sent them, then you tell them to make some prediction. And if they don't make them and it don't come to pass, they're not sending me. Look what he said in verse 19. "I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, the myrtle, the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine, the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons." He's speaking now of these false prophets, saith the King of Jacob. "Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods." You say you're prophets? You say you're gods? Well, tell us the future. Do you have perfect knowledge? God has perfect knowledge. And if you can't predict and it come to pass, then you're not God. You're not God. But you know, as we read the Old Testament and go into the New Testament, how often do you and I see, this is written that it might be fulfilled. This was done that it might be fulfilled. Which was written 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago. The seed of the woman. That's Christ. And here he is. the seed of Mary. How can God do that? Because He's God. He's perfect in knowledge. He's not like us, Glenn. He's eternally different than you and I are. He only knows what the next moment brings. But I tell you, He knows the next moment perfectly. He knows it perfectly. He is indeed beyond our grasp. That's the first thing, then. He's perfect in knowledge. This knowledge, bare knowledge, He's perfect in that. And when I say that, I'm not talking now about how He brings His purposes to pass. If we got on that, we'd get on a different subject. We're talking tonight just about His knowledge. He knows what He's going to do. And He's always known what He was going to do. When we get into the bringing about what He knows, then that includes His power, doesn't it? That includes His wisdom, His grace, and His mercy, His working. Tonight we're just looking at the knowledge of God. He knows. He knows. I told you about the ladies down at the nursing home pulled me aside a week or two ago and asked me if I believed that God knew who was going to make it. This is one of the verses I quote them to them. Known unto God are all His works. Sure He knows who's going to make it. He knows. We could go on and say He purposed who's going to make it. He opposed who's going to make it. But tonight we're just looking at He knows. He knows. So that's the first thing. Secondly, I want to look at another aspect of this. And while we're here in the book of Isaiah, turn over to the 57th chapter of Isaiah. And let's look at this aspect. Not only does He know, He has knowledge, perfect knowledge of everything, even before the world was. He didn't have to acquire it. He just knows. He knows. He has that knowledge. He's perfect in knowledge. But here's another aspect from another standpoint of God, why He knows and how He knows. And look here in verse 15 of Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. This is amazing to us too. Look here in verse 15, Isaiah 57. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. This word here, inhabiteth, he inhabiteth eternity, that means to occupy or to abide, to lodge or dwell in, to occupy. He occupies eternity. Now, you and I are here this afternoon, and we're at 1806 Hunter Avenue. And at this very moment, you and I are occupying this building. And we know very little about what's going on here, some less than others. But you know something? God is present with us here. God occupies this moment in time with you and I. And since what we've just said, you and I can be assured that He knows everything at this moment, and He knows it perfectly. He knows everything at this moment perfectly because He's present here. But not only is He present now at this moment in time, but He's present in eternity future already. And since He is present there, He knows everything that's happening there at this present time. He not only is present in eternity to come, He is present right now in eternity past. He dwells in eternity. He occupies eternity. Now, if you and I, at this moment in time, we could say the world was going to stand another million years. I doubt seriously if it will. But let's say, for the sake of proving the point, that the world is going to stand for 1 million years. And from this very moment, 1 million years from now, over in some dark jungle, there's some natives around a campfire. And God is there right now. And he knows the very thoughts and the intents of those men sitting around that campfire. 1 million years from now, as you and I are sitting here, God is there already. He occupies eternity. So, there's no limit to his space. He fills heaven and he fills earth. And there's no limit to his knowledge. Because he's infinite. He knows everything. He occupies eternity. Now get your mind around that. Get your mind around that. That's amazing, ain't it? He's present everywhere because he fills heaven and earth. And he's present at all times because he indeed dwells in eternity. He's not limited to space. He's not limited to time. That's how different he is from you and I. Thus saith the High and Holy One that inhabiteth eternity. That's amazing, ain't it? So he knows, he has perfect knowledge because he's God. From the very beginning he has perfect knowledge. Because of who he is, he's infinite in his knowledge, perfect in his knowledge. And he knows all things because he's present everywhere. He's present at all times. Here's the third and final thing we'll look at. And it's this. Let's bring this down to a little bit more personal to you and I. Maybe in a way of us receiving more comfort from the knowledge of God. We need to know just what we've been studying because it does increase our adoration for Him. Reverence for Him. To know that He knows everything perfectly and to know that He's everywhere in all space and time. But we need to bring this down also to acquaint now ourselves with Him and be at peace. As we grow in this knowledge of God, there is a deeper, settled peace. There's a comfort that comes with that. Yes. It's profitable for our souls and our spirits to do that. And I've got several scriptures, 5 scriptures I want to turn to. If you want to turn with me, you'll have to take your Bibles and turn quickly. I don't want to just quote this because it won't get in your heart. And one thing I found out from experience, if you and I really want the knowledge of God in our hearts, then turn to these passages, mark them, and then go back in the days that's coming and read them and meditate upon them. You that are out of your homes or working, you ladies that's working around your homes, write it down and carry it with you. Stick it in your pocket, lay it upon the counter. When you finish the dishes, grab it, look at it. Meditate upon it. Get it in your heart. Get these things in your heart. Here's 5 scriptures I want to show you. First of all, look in Job chapter 23. We looked at this last week, but I want you to mark this and look at it again. Job chapter 23. Now this right here, you and I really need this. This will help us greatly. Look here what he says in verse 8. You know where Job was at this time. He'd done lost 10 children. Lost all of his cattle, lost all of his servants. He'd lost his health. And really, he had lost the manifested presence of God. And I'm telling you, he was a crushed man. He had been in this dark, long valley, and he saw no light at the end of the tunnel. And he found some comfort in the knowledge of God, what God knew. And look what he said here in Job 23, verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. The Lord's not there. I can't perceive him. I go backwards, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, I know he's there, but I cannot behold him. He hides himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had your valley so dark, a trial crushing you, that you just couldn't perceive that the Lord was with you anymore? No light whatsoever. Job found some comfort in verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as
gold. What comfort that is. To know that God knows everything perfectly, and to know He knows the way that I take perfectly. Glenn, He knows where I'm at. He knows. He sees me. I got a letter. I sent it to Brother Laurie because he sends these messages out on the internet. But I got a letter from a lady yesterday. Was I telling you about it, Gail? Yesterday? The day before? But she said she hadn't been home since October. She has a little son, and she had to leave her state and take him to another state for a bone marrow transplant. Since October, she's been out of state with her son, her husband, her 6-year-old daughter, her 4-year-old daughter, and her 1-year-old daughter home with themselves. And she said, I'm crushed. She said, the trial is long and it's hard. What comfort. What comfort. He knows where I'm at. He knows the darkness. He knows my crushed spirit. He knows. Now, brothers and sisters, that's comforting, ain't it? That's comforting. Look at another place. Look in Psalms chapter 103. Look in Psalms 103 and verse 8. Psalms 103 and look in verse 8. Oh, here's something else that's comforting. What He knows, the knowledge of God. The Lord is merciful, 103:8, and He's gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our iniquities and transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him. Look, for He knoweth our frame, and He remembers that we are dust. Well, I tell you, when you're weary, when you're weak, He knows it. He knows it. When we think that we can't put one step in front of another, He knows it. He knows it. Scott Richardson, bless his heart. Some of you saw the picture that somebody took of him and how old and weak that he was. And that man got so homesick. He got so tired. He got so weary and weak. He got so homesick. He said, I long to just lay down and wake up in the presence of my dear Savior. He longed for that. Brother John Mitchell that came here, most of you remember John coming here? He shakes so bad that he can't rest. His Parkinson's, he just shakes violently. His poor frame. Ain't this a comfort? That our God knows our frame. As we get older, we face diseases, we face sicknesses, we face dying, and we face death. But through every bit of that, He knows our frame. And He remembers that we're just dust. While we're there in Psalms, look at 139th Psalm. Psalms 139. And look in verse 1 through 6. Psalms 139. This is a beautiful psalm here, and this all through this psalm, that's what it's talking about. The knowledge of God, His perfect knowledge. And look here how David says it in Psalm 139 and verse 1. O Lord, You have searched me, and You know me. You have known me. You know my downsettings. You know my uprisings. You understand my thought afore all. Not just geographically. If God is in heaven, we're upon this earth, He understands. That's far off, ain't it? But I tell you, while He was back in eternity, that's a long way off. He knew David then. He understood his thought then. Afar off, He understood my thought. You compass my path, my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. And there's not a word in my mouth, my tongue. But lo, Lord, you know it altogether. You have beset me, you have enclosed or hedged me before and behind, and you've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. But David loved that. He loved that. You know why he loved that? Because he didn't trust himself. David was a man of like passions as you and I. He had a heart that was deceitful above all things. He had devils. He had sin that sought to deceive him. There was times when he didn't even know his own heart. You remember when he fell into that sin with Bathsheba? He went a year until God sent a prophet to him and said, "You're the man." Then he came to himself and he says, "What have I done? Sin has deceived me. The devil has deceived me. My heart has deceived me. There has been in me a wicked way." A wicked way. Then he went to the God who knows it. And the last two verses of this chapter is the way he prayed. Look at it. Verse 23 and verse 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Why, David? Because I've found out I can't. The best I can do, the most diligent I can be, sin has deceived me. Oh God, you know me. You know my thoughts, my motives. Search me. Search me. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And when you find it, lead me from it. Cleanse me from it. And lead me in the way everlasting. Brothers and sisters, ain't it a wonderful thing to know now that God knows you? That used to scare me to death because I knew that He knew me. I could fool other people and I tried it too. And I did most of the time. But I didn't fool Him. And boy, that scared me. That scared me. I was afraid. But now I love it. Don't you love it? It turns that He knows you. He knows you. Two more places. Look in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I've got to hurry. I'll quote this. I'll give you this and then I'll quote the last one. Matthew chapter 6 in verse 5. Look here in verse 5. When you pray, don't be as the hypocrites are. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, that's their reward. They have it. That's all they're going to get. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into your closet. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, don't use vain repetition. Don't just repeat the same thing over and over just to be praying, as the heathens do. They think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask. Now, if you're like me and you have difficulty praying, you can't find words, and sometimes you do more groaning than talking, and you just stay there, this will encourage you to stay there a little longer and seek to pour out your heart before Him, before the throne of grace. And when you can't find words, God help us to find a heart. But remember this, He knows. He knows what we have need of. We don't. We don't know what to ask for. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But He knows what we need. That's why we should always pray, I guess, "Father, Your will be done. Your will be done." The last thing, and I'll quote this, you'll find it in John 21 in verse 15 and 17. You that attend a Sunday school class, remember Glenn just went through this a while back, so I won't go over there. But here's something else. Here's something else. Well, when we've done some wicked deed, or we've had some awful thoughts and we've dwelt on them. We've fallen, and our fall calls into question our love for Christ. Remember that with Peter? Peter, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? There's some doubt, Peter, because 3 days ago you denied you even knew me. And you cussed and swore to it that you didn't know. Peter, do you love me? You know what Peter said? This was his defense and this was his confidence. Lord, thou knowest. Peter, you love me? Lord, you know. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. Well, I tell you, when I'm doubtful, when I say with Newton, do I love the Lord or no? One thing I can take comfort in, He knows. And I go lay out before Him, Lord, if I don't love You, please give me grace to start now. For You know. You know. The knowledge of God, isn't it comforting? I tell you what, I can't worship any other God, can you? I can't. By His grace, I ain't going to. I'm going to.